Radio 930 WBEN. It's Tom Bowerly and David Bellavia. It's Bowerly and Bellavia on News Radio 930 WBEN.
Well, it is Bowerly and Bellavia on News Radio 930 WBEN, and certainly a very sad day around the world and here in Western New York with the massacre in New Zealand at the mosques in New Zealand, and 49 people are dead. Suspect is in custody, and if you want to see the video of the attack, you will not be able to find it. Chances are online. Some people want to see for themselves exactly what happened. Again, the shooter is in custody. And David, this one, I'm not quite sure what to make of this one beyond the savagery and evil of it with this manifesto and all of it's like this was a tragic media attention getting, I don't want to say ploy, because that, you know, makes it seem like it wasn't a serious story, but this guy was all about getting maximum attention for what he was doing, Facebook living it and everything else.
And we're giving it to him. All the platforms allow him to bring attention to whatever his twisted, you know, outlook is on life. Here's the reality. There are people in this world that want to kill Jews. There are people in this world that want to kill Muslims. And there are people in this world that want to kill you just because they're crazy and they want to kill you. And you could come up with a million different ways where we could all sit down and come up with, I don't know, maybe a global baptismal where we all, you know, see the love of Christ and grab arms and do whatever. Or we can just acknowledge, before we get to uniformed peace, maybe we need to come up with protocols to protect the innocent, especially people that are worshiping. If you're in a mosque and you don't have a plan to protect this from happening, you're doing a disservice to the followers of that mosque. Just like a synagogue needs a plan, a church needs a plan, this shooting would have been so much more horrific, right, had there not been a brave, I would assume, a practicing member of the mosque, of the second mosque that this shooting took place in, who had a firearm, chased these shooters out into the street, and put rounds down range, and that's when the shooting stopped. The shooting stopped when this coward was confronted by someone who wanted to respond with, you know, with like force, and that's when it stopped. There's no reason why anyone, whether you're Jewish or Muslim or Christian or whatever, there are people out there that have evil in their heart, that want to do you wrong, and these arguments that are coming up. The NRA, we're blaming. Listen, name me the Prime Minister of New Zealand. Exactly. Who the hell, outside of Peter Jackson films and Lord of the Rings, what the hell do you know about New Zealand? If you shot up a school tomorrow and blamed the politics of New Zealand, would anyone take you seriously whatsoever? There's no way any white nationalist is inspired by Candace Owens. Well, there's no way that you're going to tell me. You're throwing things up against the wall as if it is somehow, find me anywhere in any belief system. I don't care if you're far left or you're far right. If you are putting out there Elizabeth Warren, Bernie Sanders, people that I have zero agreement with, no one that follows a far left person or a far right person, no one is telling their followers to pick up guns and murder innocent people. It is only losers, cowards, criminals, and evil spirits are going to go out there and give you a reason why the ends justify the means, why they just murdered 49 people and wounded dozens more. It's absolutely, it's ridiculous. And the fact that we're even giving attention to a manifesto of a person who killed more than likely will have more than 49 dead. Why this guy is given any, he deserves as much respect as people who, you know, read Mein Kampf and try to get into the mind of Hitler. Why? What is the point of understanding Hitler?
There's no understanding crazy.
What I'm saying, you want to get into Stalin? Let's figure out why Stalin killed so many people, or why Mao killed so many people. What's the point? The point is, these are evil people. And whatever they could tell you that Barbie was the motivating factor of why they killed 49 people. This to me is outrageous that anyone's going to blame the NRA, blame the gun laws in the United States for something that now is happening in New Zealand. All you can do is do your best to to pray for the families that are going through this in New Zealand, because nobody deserves what happened last night.
Our telephone number on News Radio 930 WBEN is 803-0930. That is 803-0930. Star 930 on the cell phone, 1-800-616-WBEN. You know, what I find interesting about the manifesto and the reporting of the manifesto is it is almost as if this savage was writing a manifesto designed to get maximum media attention by checking all of the boxes that the media would absolutely go crazy on. I'm not saying that I know for a fact that this guy was not a white supremacist. I'm not saying that, but I would like a lot more information about this guy's background and whether this was his, you know, whether the manifesto was his actual way of thinking, David, or whether it was just tweaking and twerking the media.
If you go back to the shooting that happened in Norway, other shootings that happened, mass shootings that happened, you know, go to what happened in Russia, the theater when Putin used essentially, mustard gas. Nobody covered that in the United States outside of it's a national story and it's a horrible tragedy that happened. This guy was hell-bent on making sure the American media would cover this story. So what did he do? He played into what the media is obsessed about, which is Donald Trump, the folks that, but again, show me a white nationalist that's talking about a black, you know, woman who's hanging out with Kanye West. How many Republicans know who these people are? It'd be like a shooting happens in East Africa and they blame Steven Crowder, or they blame, you know, Ben Shapiro. Like, what? This is insane. Welcome to clickbait America. You took the story. He could have blamed Boeing and the 737 8 Max is the reason why he's shooting people. It doesn't excuse what he did. There should be no excuse for it. But now the American media has something else that we can point to and pivot to. And we can open up the door to Twitter and everyone else. Anyone with any credibility on an issue, gear it, whether it's in Buffalo or it's in D.C. All the people holding on to the info, waiting for a mass shooting, waiting for this to happen again. We had a synagogue shooting. We've had mosque shootings. We've had school shootings. We've had anti-Christian shootings. We've had a whole political militant wing of radical Islam that was just targeting Christians and Jews, Al-Qaeda, ISIS. But you throw Donald Trump's name in it, and now it's something that we could all digest in America, because he's not only driving people crazy in America, he's driving people crazy in New Zealand. And now that is what the story is all about.
Now, some of our audience members may be wondering, hey, what are the gun laws in New Zealand? How tough is it to get a firearm in New Zealand? And the answer is, apparently, it's not tough. The minimum age in New Zealand to own a gun is 16 years of age, or 18 if it is a so-called military-style semi-automatic weapon. Anyone over the age of 16 or 18 who is considered by police to be fit and proper can possess a firearm, or as many as they would like. All gun owners in New Zealand must have a license, but most individual weapons do not have to be registered. New Zealand is one of the few countries where this is the case. So those of you wondering, A, how this guy got his weapons, or B, how the courageous, heroic Muslim who drew his firearm was able to get firearms legally, that is presumably what happened. I mean, I'm presuming that the it'll be interesting to see if this guy had license to carry firearms. It'll be interesting to see if the hero had a license and if he faces any repercussions of what he did.
Most of the registrations that are in New Zealand are semi-automatic rifles and handguns. Those require a special license, but a person can buy one semi-automatic weapon at a time. But if you look at 1996 in Tasmania, 35 people were killed in Port Arthur. Australia went on one of the most, far-reaching, just rid guns completely out of Australia. But many Australians will tell you they didn't turn their guns over. The buyback program officially that occurred after the 35 people were killed in Port Arthur in Tasmania in 96 in Australia, it took 650,000 firearms off the streets. But, you know, I talked to people in the Australian, you know, military and folks that just, you know, you talk to on Facebook and whatnot. none of them gave, I mean, most of the gun owners in 96 held onto their guns. You don't see large, you've heard about this one shooting in Australia. If you look at the crime rate in New Zealand, if you look at the amount of handgun fatalities in New Zealand, these guys do not have, they're not one of the countries that you look at as saying there's a ton of gun violence there.
Right. It is not a particularly violent country in terms of firearms. And as is the case in the United States, the people who have firearms licenses are not the ones, by and large, who are committing the homicides in New Zealand. As far as the arrests are concerned, something like 26 licensed firearm license holders have been accused of homicide in New Zealand, and well over 100 non-licensed people have been accused of homicide in New Zealand. So, again, it's just another cross-cultural study, if you will, in how bans don't really work because criminals are still getting guns even in New Zealand.
Here are the numbers. There's 3.9 million New Zealanders that are of 16 and up. So that's the gun licensing age. 3.9 million people in New Zealand are of gun licensing age, and there's only 238,000 or 6% that actually have a firearm license. This is according to gunpolicy.org. When people point to gun laws that work, gun laws that don't work, you could argue that New Zealand has some of the most liberal gun laws in the world, and yet the numbers of fatalities don't dictate that they would need stricter gun laws. And I'm sure you're going to see in the wake of this, you know, reflexive legislation across the board. But again, like Australia, if you look at the United States, Australia, Canada, New Zealand's, you know, they have a history of gun culture for sport. There's a lot of animals to shoot out there. That's a huge part of the culture out there, just like it is in Australia, Canada, and the United States.
So Donald Trump earlier was being criticized by some people for not coming out strongly enough, David, against the shootings. I don't know what exactly they expect President Trump to say. I mean, here's the thing that I've learned ever since Donald Trump, I think ever since his candidacy and certainly since he actually took office, it doesn't matter what Donald Trump does. It doesn't matter what Donald Trump says. It will never be sufficient for people on the left or people who just plain don't like the man. How many times have we said he could come up with a cure for cancer tomorrow and we'd hear about the hospitals that would be going out of business? That's just the way it goes.
Well, we have no confirmation on what firearms were used in this. We know there was a handgun. We know there was a shotgun. And we know there was a semi-automatic rifle. Judging by, the video that's out there, some people have speculated as to what this guy used. We also have three men in custody, one woman in custody, and there's really no definitive information as to if there was one shooter, if these people were accomplices, what the case is. So this whole thing is unfolding. But again, I don't know what a leader of a country that a terrorist attack, you know, it didn't occur in the United States. What would you expect the president? I mean, it would be the equivalent of saying when 9/11 happened, why didn't New Zealand come out stronger immediately after? Who does anyone care about New Zealand after when two planes hit two towers in New York City? What does the president of the, I mean, again, I understand the left wants to be a globalist society where things that happen in Australia should affect us here. These are our allies. These are friends. We deploy together. We train our militaries. A lot of shared policy in the way we look at the world. But again, you know, outside of Peter Jackson and Lord of the Rings films, there's not a lot of people that have New Zealand on the radar. And if a guy goes into New Zealand and wants to talk about, you know, policy of the United States government, I don't know many people that'll mention if you can out. Does anyone in New Zealand know who Rush Limbaugh is? Does anyone know who Sean Hannity is? I mean, if you pulled up a right wing talk show host from Australia and said, this is the reason why you shot 49 innocent unarmed people, I don't know if anyone would take you seriously. Yet here in New Zealand, a guy is bringing up all the policies and politics of the United States. And that somehow is, you know, why aren't there more mosque shootings in the United States if Donald Trump is urging his followers to kill Muslims? The whole thing is nonsense.
Well, and the other thing, too, is we're kind of waiting to see. Was this guy, do you think this guy is going to prove to be part of some network or part of some conspiracy? Or do you think that, like most of these people, this is a lone actor and somebody who is really messed up in the head? Not to give him an excuse for doing what he did, because obviously he knew it was wrong before he did it.
He wrote the names of mass shooters on his magazines, on his rifle itself, on a shotgun with white paint. It appears that their names of I don't see any of the American school shooters on that equipment. I see nothing but international mass shooters. There's the name of the guy from Norway. There's a name from the guy in Australia and whatnot. So again, how are you motivated by neo-Nazis and by, you know, folks that shot up Russians in under the flag of Georgia, you know, the Republic of, how do you make the juxtaposition that Donald Trump is, you know, right-wing American politics is the motivator when you have, you know, the people he's quoting in his article? I don't know of any neo-Nazi that quotes black females as, you know, Condoleezza Rice is never brought up when you hear from an Aryan Nation member or a Klan member. Right. Seems to be something they frown on, a black female that's right of center, that's giving out talking points. Normally, a lot of neo-Nazis don't follow black women.
No, that generally tends to be verboten, I guess, in the neo-Nazi world. 803-0930, star 930 is the cell phone number, 1-800-616-WBEN, your reaction to what happened in New Zealand. And David, also coming up on the show in just a little bit, we are going to be going to Washington and President Trump for a very important veto.
This is a big one. I don't know whether or not he's going to do it live or if he's going to sign it and show it like he normally. These press conferences are held when he signs legislation. It's about the tax bill. It's about something else. In this case, we're talking about a veto. And again, you know, according to the Constitution, which, you know, who knows how many folks out there actually read it that are in elected office. But you would need 2/3 of the House and the Senate to override this veto. There certainly aren't the horses there. It appears that of the 12 Republicans that defected to vote against this, a majority of them knew that this thing was going to be vetoed anyway. So there's not a lot of political capital there to override this veto.
All right, it's Bowerly and Bellavia on News Radio 930 WBEN. Obviously, the atrocity in New Zealand is huge news and tragic news. Absolute atrocity and savage attack on innocent people about their prayerful business. And we are also awaiting President Trump and his announcement of the veto of, we're waiting for the live coverage from ABC News on that, from News Radio 930 WBEN. David, one of the things that we did not mention in the first part of the show is that the shooter has been arrested, but two other people have been arrested by the authorities in New Zealand. Do you think they're going to prove to, on suspicion of possessing firearms, do you think they're going to prove to be part of this? Or, you know, do you think that this guy is sending off all the signals of a lone nut?
You know, everything is speculation at this point.
Indeed.
We don't know anything about this guy. And the other thing is that because it's New Zealand, you know, the authorities and ministries and everything else that you normally would check, it'd be super easy in the United States to just do a couple searches and find out if this guy pops up anywhere else. It's really hard to even know where to begin in New Zealand because we're just not really familiar with the way they do their arrest records and what's FOIA requested and what's available out there. So it's really impossible to know what kind of person this is outside of what the media is telling us. And from what everyone is saying, you know, this guy took the time to put a GoPro camera on his head and record a shooting as heinous and disturbing as this. Obviously, this is a troubled, sick, wicked guy.
Yeah, but I mean, I don't think he's sick enough to not have to be accountable for what he did, because obviously he knew what he was going to do was wrong before he did it, and he did it anyway.
You know, a lot of the way these shootings end tell you pretty much everything you need to know about what the intent was. Someone, you know, that ends up taking their own life at the end of it realizes that either humanity kicks in, they realize the weight of what just happened, and they can't live with it, or they're just triple down on the coward, and they don't want to deal with the rep, you know, to be held accountable for what they've just done, and they take that road out. Usually when someone wants to be taken into custody, they believe that this is just the beginning of their platform, that they can continue to become a celebrity. Obviously, he looked at previous shooters as some form of, you know, he respected them enough to put their name on his magazines and his rifles and his shotgun and whatnot. So maybe he wants to, you know, be a Mark David Chapman.
Yeah, I mean, that is absolutely positively some very, very sick thinking. And, you know, one of the things that we always overlook, or we, you know, a lot of people tend to overlook after a mass shooting like this, is the possibility that the motive may simply be that the person is just plain evil. And you also have a very hard time understanding irrational and crazy, because by their very nature, they kind of defy understanding.
None of it makes sense. It doesn't, and it's troubling. But yeah, how do you combat that? I mean, you know, it's one thing, we're focused on stopping evil that's within our control. We're here. We're looking at folks. We're passing laws, New York State, and, you know, red flags. And how do you know that this guy could be trouble? And let's have communication between the sheriff and the FBI. And everyone wants communication, and we want to be able to track these guys and tag these guys. And then you turn around and see, well, what do we do about people in New Zealand? We don't do a damn thing about people in New Zealand.
Because we're not in New Zealand.
I mean, what do you want us to do? I mean, all you can do is look back at the smoldering wreckage of something that's horrible, and no one has any answers to it, and all you could say is, that is horrible, and I feel so bad for the people affected by that, but what the hell do you want us to do about something that's happened in another country? By the way, there's sex slaves, there's, you know, abuse, there's people that are beheaded. What do you want us to do? You don't send our military out there? Are we going to deploy every time some horrible thing happens to people? The world is cruel. Humanity is messed up, and people do despicable, inexcusable. All we can do is focus on what we can actually affect, which is right in our backyard, and hope that these things don't happen to us.
Well, you know, it would be very, very nice if some genius out there would come up with some kind of an algorithm to figure out on social media posting and stuff like that, who is actually a danger and who is just a keyboard tough guy or a keyboard psycho versus who actually is mentally of a state that they're actually going to be a danger to themselves and other people. I mean, whoever could do that, it's got a lot of brains.
You know, and the other thing is that we talk about guns, and there's, you know, the people that do pressure cooker bombs, IEDs, homemade material. They get in cars and they run people over. What are you going to do? The amount of money that you would have to put into your place of business to make sure that every single, you know, luckily we've never had a mortar attack in the United States. What would happen if someone was using indirect fire to hurt people that are in crowds and whatnot? You want to talk about carnage, you know, airburst an artillery round over Times Square. This would be outrageous. Things could happen. People do things. They improvise things. Are we going to live in fear? Are we going to allow some sick, twisted, evil person to dictate our futures and our present? Or are we going to do our best to contain crazy, mitigate it before it attacks us, but have a plan in case it shows its ugly head? And again, I applaud the guy with the gun in the mosque.
Absolutely.
He saved, you know, countless lives. And, you know, it's a shame that someone wasn't in a position to do more earlier. And that would have said, at that point, there's really not a whole lot you can do. After the shooting has started, any plan you have, it's going to come down to, well, at least stop that guy.
Well, at this point, 49 people are dead, and about 20 of the 49 others who were wounded are said to be in serious condition. How many are in serious condition or critical condition with life-threatening injuries, we do not know. But the shooter, has been taken into custody in New Zealand, so the justice system is going to have their go with this guy. We're not naming him intentionally because, you know, when you read some of what he has written, I haven't read the whole thing yet, but to me, one of the things that stands out is it seems to me like he was literally trying to tweak the American media into giving this story the maximum possible coverage. And I suppose, in a way, it's actually working because we're talking about it today. You know, there have been terror attacks, David. Every week, somewhere in the world, there is a terror attack. There are a lot of terror attacks in the third world. There are a lot of terror attacks in countries of which we have never heard. And they don't really get any coverage because, you know, it's what the news media used to call Afghanistanism or the Afghanistan effect, which basically goes this way. You don't report on stuff where people don't know where it is. In other words, if it's not happening in somebody's backyard or at least somebody's country, it really doesn't matter. I mean, this, again, I'm trying to explain why the media, from where the term Afghanistanism or Afghanistan came from. And it's the example was always, you know, it's like Afghanistan. Everybody knows it's there, but do we really care? Of course, we started caring in about 2001. 803-0930 is the phone number, *930 on the cell phone, 1-800-616-WBEN. We are awaiting a news conference or a statement anyway by President Trump on the first veto of his administration. You might remember the vote that was taken in the Senate this week. He will have more to say about that coming up, and we will have live coverage from ABC here on News Radio 930 WBEN. So we're waiting to see what happens with that, how long he is going to speak, exactly what he's going to say. Don't know if he's going to be taking questions, but it's a fair game or a fair guess, David, that if questions are invited of the media, that the situation in New Zealand will be among them.
I don't know why you would want to conflict those two stories at the same time, but who knows? You know, the president, maybe he decides to do a little improv and talk about everything that's happening in the world. If he opens this up to questions, I'm sure there's going to be a response. He's already tweeted out his initial reaction, which is just outrage and horror, as many people that saw this story unfold. Now, a lot of people are taking advantage of this, and a lot of people are going to use this for their own political purpose. And, you know, we call those people, what is the word? Whores? Is that what we call them?
Or prostitutes.
Yeah, whatever we want to
call
them.
Working girls.
They're going to push their agenda because it always takes tragedy to push whatever political motive you can't do when people aren't emotional, when people aren't hurting. And again, think about how ridiculous every time something happens in the United States, if people that want to push their own political ideology across the finish line use the bodies of dead children, the bodies of innocent parishioners at a mosque, a synagogue, a church, whatever it is. But listen to this. This isn't even happening in the United States. This is happening in New Zealand. The NRA has more to do with what's happening with New Zealand's gun laws as Coca-Cola has to do with tooth decay in China. Actually, that's probably not.
That's probably not the best comparison. But
how could, you know, why would you go to a foreign country and take a political action committee or a 501c4 or any sort of group of like-minded people in the United States and believe that they have anything to do with the gun culture in other countries? I mean, could it be that maybe there are people in other countries that think the same way as people that are in democracies in the Western world? That they want to control their own destiny, that they want the opportunity to protect their family, that they want the opportunity to have a gun because it's cool, or shoot an animal that they want to hunt, or protect their livestock, or protect their property, or just maybe they want a gun because it's none of your damn business, and they're law-abiding, peaceful people. Why do you now want to get involved in New Zealand's culture? Again, it just shows you this is the most insecure people around us are the folks that always have to know, what do you have? What are you doing? We have to know.
803-0930 is the landline number on News Radio 930 WBEN. You know, the one issue, David, that I find myself conflicted over is whether or not all these media companies that are scrambling to get the video of the shooting down, part of me says, well, of course, you don't want that video up online. The other part of me says, if it is important that people actually see the horror of terrorism, if they're going to take this video down of the shooting that was made by the terrorist involved, why is it that there aren't mass calls to take off the videos of the Kennedy assassination, the Zapruder film, or the videos of 9/11 itself? I mean, there doesn't seem to be, in other words, there is so much gnashing of teeth and wailing right now by the media companies over the fact that this video is out there, yet far worse or equal videos are out there in battalions.
You know, I look at that. I think you're right. It's tough to be the. I wouldn't, if my family member was there, I certainly wouldn't want people to, you know, look at it and make comments or, you know, whatever the case may be. There's also the mindset where you're giving people the opportunity. There's something as violent as shooting someone. You want there to be an element of shock and horror, because when people become desensitized to that, they feel like, you know, maybe that's the last thing that keeps a crazy person from wanting to shoot someone, is the reality of what that looks like. And if you show them on a video, they're more apt to say, well, I can handle that. That's not too horrible. It's like a bad movie, and they go and do it. So who knows what the right answer is? But there is an element of, we have sanitized violence on the streets for far too long. And maybe if people saw enough dead young people, they would realize that we all need to collectively do something with the mental health situation in the United States. And by the way, as we're talking about mental health, we only talk about mental health when it has to do with violence. You see mental health issues every single day. You go to the Twitter account, Facebook. There are people that are unhinged, that are literally throwing out information with no substantiation, and we have them everywhere. What are we supposed to do? Collect people that you might think are crazy? Collect people that intimidate you or make you feel odd and lock them up? What's the answer to that? Because I'll tell you, whatever solution you get to, it doesn't involve the Constitution.
Well, it's tough to know, because some people are legitimate threats and other people are just blown off steam. Most people are just blown off steam. But again, as we've seen in case after case with the mass shootings, some of these people need to be taken seriously. But there is the First Amendment. There is the Constitution, at least in this country. So it's always a balancing act. One of the things we're talking about, your reaction to the shooting, the terror attacks and the mosques in New Zealand. Let's go to John on WBEN. John, you're on. Hello.
Hey, good afternoon, guys.
Sir.
So one thing that a lot of people have been overlooking is this guy's manifesto is really, really important, because important in a bad way, by the way. He keeps talking about racial lines and cultural lines. And he mentioned the United States specifically and trying to manipulate our media from an attack in New Zealand. He understood that, even how crazy he was, he understood that this attack was going to send waves across the world, and the media's response in the United States is so ridiculous to all of these mass shootings and all of these tragedies that however they would take it, especially from the left side, they were going to cause some kind of divide, and just this divide that we already have is going to get expressed in multitudes down the line and just make things so much worse. So
The thing that you said, I got to interrupt you here at this point, because the thing that you said is just so important. It's almost like the shooting was took place in New Zealand, but it was geared for an American audience. That's the sense I get.
Especially from, like, I know I keep harping on this manifesto thing because it's just crazy writings, but it's just pieces of it that this psycho keeps saying, that United States, United States, because obviously he's trying to, he has some goal. So thank God we got him alive so we can at least, like...
Well, the way I look at it is that the goal is that most countries have their media somewhat under control, where in the United States, we run with anything at any time because we're always pushing a narrative and agenda. And if your agenda, you know, leans up to it... I mean, first of all, would anyone have had more... you would think that if you shot up a bunch of people and named a far left leader, that it wouldn't be treated differently in the media than if you picked a far right leader in Ireland, in England. Well, in the United States, you had a Bernie bro that shot up members of Congress. Nobody seemed to give a damn about that in the mainstream media. So only in the United States can you get a story covered if you point at the other side of the political spectrum. And now a person in another country has exploited that, and to me, shown how absolutely shameful journalism has become in the United States.
100%.
What do you make of the video? Do media companies do the right thing by getting it offline, or should those videos stay up, just like the 9/11 videos and the Zapruder film and the shooting of Oswald and a lot of others?
You know what? It's up to those companies. They're private companies. That's the one thing that it sets us apart in America. We're not government run. That being said, I watched them. They were horrifying. They were horrifying to watch. And you watch because you want to see what happens next if this guy gets stopped, but sadly he didn't up until the good guy with a gun got to him. But it's something that companies need to do. I think they should stay up simply because it'd be hypocritical for me to say not to.
Yeah, I mean, it also raises the question, all right, if this video is taken down, what other violent videos are going to follow next? And then what do we do about entertainment, et cetera, et cetera?